see let all the earth rejoice let all the earth rejoice he wraps himself in light and darkness tries to hide and trembles at his voice and trembles at his voice How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And oh, see how great is our God? How great is our God? And sing with me, how great is our God? And all see how great is our God? And age to age he stays. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb.
Amen. You may be seated. Welcome, everyone. Thank you for being here tonight. If you're a guest of ours, we especially want to extend a welcome to you. We do have a connection card that hopefully you've received it, or if you haven't, you can get one from one of our ushers, or you can go to the kiosk out in the vestibule and get one there if you will take a moment. And give us just a few points of information on that card. We want to give you a gift from Calvary Gospel Church, a small gift, and that will allow us then to show our appreciation and let you know how grateful we are that you are here. If you're a guest online, you can do the same thing. If you go to the bit.ly link, bit.ly/CGC Connection. And please, we want to let you know how much we appreciate your being here. Welcome. Also, we want to let you know about our giving options. You can give in the offering box out in the kiosk, or you can go to our website. You can give through our church app, or you can, give through snail mail. And we'd be grateful for any of that, any way in which you choose to give. Just a few announcements. Actually, one announcement. Tomorrow evening, two announcements. CMI and Hyphen Worship Night at 6:30 p.m. Tomorrow evening, CMI and Hyphen Worship Night, second floor, Fresh Madison Market. If you have any questions, you can talk to Josh or Jenny Manis for details. This Sunday is Sunday evening at 7 o'clock, there will be a men's ministry service. Okay. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand again, and we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. If you have a need or you want to identify a specific prayer request that you have, we can't take everybody's prayer request, but if you have a need or if you want to identify that you're praying on behalf of someone, why don't you raise your hand and identify that. Maybe someone near you can pray with you, join with you, if you feel comfortable with that. We want to ask for God's blessing on this service. There are numerous needs that are present here, obviously, in a group this size. We're aware of some that are struggling with very severe issues, and we want to keep them in mind. Let's pray right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we are grateful, Lord, that we are able to be in the house of God tonight. I know, God, that you are faithful, and even in the hardest times, God, we know that you are still with us. I pray especially for those who are struggling with cancer, those who are fighting against sickness that are here with us tonight, that the power and the presence of God would bring great comfort, and that you would release your healing virtue, O God. We believe, God, that you are able, and we trust that you are a miracle working God. I pray, God, release that virtue, that power here in this place. We pray, God, for every soul that's in the house of God tonight, everyone who's online, that the word of God will be effective and will do what you have sent it to do as we hear the word of God. Let your anointing be upon our pastor and upon each of us, that we will be able to respond according to your will, and that we will be sensitive to your leadership. Thy kingdom come, O God, thy will be done. We give you glory and honor. We thank you for your presence in this place, for your touch, O God, O Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Everyone said amen. You may stand or sit. We want to worship the Lord. For you are always with us.
Surrender, we Praise the Lord, church. Such a sweet presence of the Holy Ghost in this place tonight. You can be seated and continue to pray for the situation going on over in Europe. I had mentioned a week or so ago, there is a UPCI on their website, or our website, I guess, UPCI International. There are places there that you can assist if you would like to contribute, to give to the cause. We do know that some of our churches have been destroyed, and many of the congregations have scattered simply because people have had to flee their homes. And so just continue to pray for the situation there. And God is good. And I believe wholeheartedly is we can take, and I've said this, I guess, more an encouragement to others, that we've had a lot of conversations about what all of this is meaning and all of this stuff going on in our world today. And I believe wholeheartedly, even though the Lord, He says, I'm not going to tell you the day nor the hour, but I'm going to give you a season. I believe we're in the season. And if there ever was a time to dig in, now is the time. If there ever was a time for you to make up your mind where you are going to stand, now is the time to do that. I'm also a firm believer that God has all of this in control. He's got it all in control. He doesn't wake up in the morning and say, oh my goodness, I didn't see this coming. God orchestrates, God uses things. And we also have to understand that since the dawning of time, since the beginning of history, since the forming of nations, God has used nations to judge other nations. And He will continue to do so, because that's how God operates, and it's out of my pay grade. And God is sovereign. He sees things we don't see. He goes places. He's able to be places we're not able to be. And God's got it all. If you want to know how it all ends, just go to this book and read the end, and you find out how it all wraps up. But in the meantime, we're here. And we have to live life. We have to continue to live life. I'm so thankful for our Sunday morning God's Word for Life series that we have, not just as a adult Bible class, but in our children's classes. So I trust that as parents that you're utilizing the tools that we have been given and are passed on, and you're able to use as a family. Use your devotions. I strongly urge every day, if you can take and go through something with your children, to teach them. The only way they learn is if we teach them. And if we don't teach them, they're going to learn from someone. Somebody's going to teach them. So it's very important that we teach them. So we have our God's Word for Life. Then we also are in a series on Sunday morning where we're talking about the power of the gifts of the Spirit. And we have been talking about that the last few weeks, and we're going to continue that on Sunday mornings. So that will be our Sunday morning series that we're going to continue. And we're going to start a series tonight, which will be a Wednesday night Bible study series. And this is something that has kind of evolved over time. And it is something that we all deal with, and we're all guilty at some point or another. And this is just something to give us. I'm a very strong believer that if everyone on the planet followed what was in the Word of God and lived the Word of God, then things would be a whole lot simpler and a whole lot easier and a whole lot more peaceful. Now, I have people, I've listened to the arguments and seen the arguments where they go into the Old Testament and talk about stoning people that steal. And you have to understand, those are people that don't understand the Old Testament and the law versus the New Testament, how things are done in the dispensation in which we are in today. So we're going to give you a series here, and I've titled this series Sticks and Stones. And How many of you ever heard sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me? Anybody ever, you ever say that when you were a kid? I remember as a kid, I would get teased a lot, and I would say that. Sometimes we would say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me, but words will never hurt me. Wow, how wrong, how wrong, how wrong that little cliche or rhyme, children's rhyme, really is. Because if you've ever been called names or you've ever had people say hateful things to you, you find out that words can cut. Words can cut, and words can cut very, very deep, and words can destroy. Now, sad to say, I have seen in a lot of marriages, in a lot of close relationships with friends, I've seen over the years that sometimes words can cut to the point to where it destroys marriages, it destroys relationships, it destroys friendships. It can destroy you on your job. It can destroy lots of things in your neighborhood. Words have, when you let it go, there's no retracting it. When it goes out and it lands on the ears of who you intend it to land on, whether it's an intended or an unintended target, and words have consequences. We're seeing right now playing out on a national, in an international stage of leaders of countries that will get up and they will make statements. And then another leader will make a statement and nobody wants to back down from their words. And this is where pride comes in. This is where Satan had a big problem. I believe strongly that all sin, you can chase it back to the very first sin or the very first noted sin, and that was a sin of pride. So many sins have their roots in pride, and we as humanity, we as people, we don't ever want to take it back down from our words. We as a society, we have decided that some people, you know, we want to let it all out. We want to be able to say, well, we should be able to say what we think. Boy, I'm glad I don't say everything I think. I'm glad I've learned a little bit of wisdom, Pastor Seidel, over life, that you don't always have to say what you think. So we're going to get into this tonight. But we have as a society, we've decided that the best way to deal with words that hurt, with offenses, is to get onto our favorite social media page and just let them have it. And then we complain to others when we have been done wrong or someone has said something. And how many times have we offended or been offended and never even known about it? I've had people say, well, did you see what so-and-so said about you on social media? No, I don't really do a lot of that. But, you know, we look at it, and a lot of times we don't even know that we've offended or we've been offended, but we kind of like, well, hey, you know, I got 1,000 likes from that one. And we look at the words, we look at sticks and stones and names and words, offenses. It seems like today that we live in a culture of offenses. This tonight may offend some of you. What does it mean to be offended? What does it mean to be offended? Brother Ben can say something and I can look at what he says and I can think in my mind how stupid of him to say that. I'm offended. Does it hurt me? Am I physically, does it hurt me physically? Well, no, I'm fine. Maybe Brother Ben says, boy, our pastor, he sure is meddling tonight, and he sure was long-winded. And I look at it and I can say, well, that's an offensive thing to me. But what does it mean to be offended? Am I hurting? Don't you feel that this is just a little precursor? What I'm offended over may be something totally different than what our brother's offended over here. Or my brother over here. What offends me may not offend you. And what offends you may offend her. So offenses are really subject to the eye of the beholder. So I can say something that's offensive, and 99% of the people, it doesn't offend them, but 1% of the people, it may offend them. And that's the problem when it comes to offense, is how do you really put your finger on it? So we're going to talk about some things in this study that's going to help us deal with some of these offenses. The media today, when we look at the media outlets absolutely love, and they make a lot of money by creating or sharing offenses that are made by others. Is the media offended? Not necessarily, but other people are offended, and it makes the news, and there's a lot of money to be made. I didn't realize that I was supposed to be offended about certain things until someone told me that, well, did that not offend you? Well, no, not really, because a lot of this is just people's opinions. People love to build their camps of folks that all share the same offense. It's as if somehow we feel vindicated or justified in our offense and our bitterness if we have a whole group of offended folks or bitter folks surrounded by us. This is where social media becomes so dangerous. Just because 1,000 people agree with you doesn't mean 1,000 people are correct. Listen, companies offend, leaders offend, Christians offend, non-Christians offend, pastors offend, dads offend, moms offend, kids offend, cops offend, patrons offend. We all offend and we all get offended, so get over yourself. We've all been there. Offended or hurt by the actions of others and words of others, thus wounded by the words others have made, sticks and stones may break my bones. And yes, names will offend me. We've all been there. Perhaps we've been angered by the selfish. Oh, it's so selfish of them. How dare they say that? Or inappropriate behaviors of people. I will tell you here today, people will say the dumbest things. And the reason I say people will say the dumbest things is because I've never heard my dog talk. Well, when I had a dog. I've never heard my cat talk. I don't go out every night and talk to my fishies. They don't talk. They don't offend me, but people talk. People offend. So how do we deal? How do we deal with this? I'm convinced that some people are hopefully and unknowingly looking for the next offense from someone. Listen, if you're looking for offense here at Calvary Gospel Church, I will tell you, I will promise you, you listen to me preach another one or two times, and I will provide you with enough things to be offended about. I go home sometimes and I offend myself. You see, but how do we deal with with offense? How do we respond? How do we guard our hearts while not seeking revenge or vengeance? Thus allowing God's, remember we talked about the fruits of the Spirit? Thus allowing the fruits of the Spirit to flow through us. You see, we can't always help. I've been up here sometimes, and I have notes, and I look at my notes, and I, when I get to certain parts, I look at it, I'm thinking in my mind, what in the world were you trying to say here? I read my notes, I proofread them, I read them over and over and over again, I type them, I refer back to them, and, you know, we're just, I'm sorry, but I'm just going to say some things sometimes that just don't make sense to you and they don't make sense to me. And until you get a microphone and you get up here in front of 300-400 people at any given time and you feel the pressure, you know what? We just sometimes say things that, yeah, I really didn't mean it to come out that way, but that's just how it's too late. It's out there. You heard it. It's on camera. It's all over the internet. But you know what? We can't help the poor actions or statements that we make or that others make, and we can't control the hearts of other people. We can't stop racists from hating. One of the problems that our society, if I could say this, our government has, is they try to legislate morality. And you can't do that. You can pass as many laws as you want to stop people from hating one another, and people are going to hate because it's not a legislative issue, it's a heart issue. And until the hearts of humanity is fixed, legislating it is not going to help any. So we can't stop racists from hating. You can't stop sexists from being sexist or elitists from their power trips. But I can control one person, and that is me. And you can control one person, and that is you. I've said this before, if I want the world to change and I'm not happy with how the world is today, the number one, the first place I need to start is right here in my own heart and in my own mind. We want everybody else to change. We want everybody else to think different. But we don't want to change and we don't want to think different. Thus, we keep going in this vicious circle. So what does Jesus say? I'm going to read a passage of Scripture, and I'm going to take and I've added some comments to this. So this is not a commentary. This is just some of my own personal comments. So this is talking in Matthew. This is Jesus. I mean, he did a tremendous job letting his disciples know that, you know what, offenses are going to come. He was setting up his disciples for the future of the church. And what he was trying to let people know is, you know what? At some point in time, there's going to be thousands of you, tens of thousands, and you're going to say things and you're going to do things that are offensive to one another because there's going to be fish from all walks of life. There's going to be big fish, little fish. There's going to be beautiful fish. There's going to be ugly fish. There's going to be prickly fish. There's going to be slippery, slimy fish. There's going to be all kinds. And he was talking about people. He was talking about humanity. There's going to be all kinds of humanity in my kingdom. And you're going to say things that you don't mean. Maybe you do mean them, but how I take them and how someone else takes them. So Jesus gives an incredible teaching in Matthew chapter 18, and this is where we're going to take our passage from. I'm going to read it this way tonight. I won't do this every time we have this, but he gives us in Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17, reading, if your brother sins against you. What he's saying here is if someone else offends you, you go to him, tell him his fault between you and him alone. That means in private, not telling your friends and building your camps on social media. That means if I've got a problem with Josh Stone, I simply walk over to Josh Stone and say, "Brother, I've got a problem. And I want to talk to you about it. Do you have time to talk?" And Josh stands up like a man he is, and he says, "Pastor, anytime you want to talk, I am willing to talk." So I begin to lay it out how that I feel that somehow, some way, he did something that offended me. And I have this one-on-one conversation with him and I. And no one else is involved in it. That's what this is saying. Thank you. That's what this is saying. You go to that brother, you go to that sister, alone, in private. If he listens to you, if he listens to you, what happens if he listens to me? Jesus says, if he listens to you, you have gained a brother. You have gained a brother. That's a win. A brother like Brother Josh, that's a big win. He's a big man. He's got lots of talents, lots of abilities. I never know when I may need his talents and abilities in my life. That's a big win. And responsibly of the offended person, not the offender. But if, what happens if he does not listen? Yeah, I went over to Josh and I talked with him. You know what he did? He just blew me off. So, yep. I got on social media and he's got a business and I went on the review page of his business and I just let him have it. Nobody gonna cross me. Especially him. I'll show him. Boy, that sounds just like something Jesus would do, doesn't it? I'm being a little sarcastic there. But if he does not listen, and that happens sometimes, what does it say? Well, I talked to Josh. He didn't listen. He didn't hear me out. So, Brother Ben, would you come with me a minute? I just need your help for a second. Brother Josh. You know, I come over here and I talk to you and I tried to work this out. I wanted to work this out, but you wouldn't hear me out. So I got a witness here, okay? And we began to readdress the issue, and I've just got one witness, just one witness. I didn't bring my whole social media. I didn't bring my family into it. I didn't drag the wife. I brought a brother. I brought a brother, and I'm addressing an issue with a brother. Okay? That's the next thing that happens. Okay? Because now, instead of just two people knowing about it, now only three know about it. And that's it. That's it. No more. Just three. It's that simple. Wasn't Jesus a wise person? Okay? So, I go. I talk it out. And you know what? Boy, Josh, he's rough. He drives a hard bargain. And he says, "Others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. Let every word be established." This is what's going on here. So the assumption here is that if he listens, great. That's a win, and you've gained a brother. If you refuse to listen, maybe he just says, "Nope, I'm not having this." Then what do you do if you refuse to listen? You tell it to the church. And if he refuses, see, this, there's a progression here. All of this is protection. It's not only for Josh's protection, but it's for my protection. So if he refuses to listen, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen, even to the church, then let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Basically, it's saying you don't have to have anything else to do with him. Meaning, let it go, the end, period. This is how churches have church splits. Is because people don't know how to deal with offenses, biblically speaking. This applies in every area of your life. This isn't just for a church issue. If you have an issue with someone at work, you go to that person. If they won't hear you, you take a witness. Even our court system is built upon witnesses, eyewitnesses. And then if your brother says no, then you take it to the church. And if he refuses to hear the matter then you know what? It's over with. It's done. You drop it. You let it go. Forget about it. Move on with your life. Now, Jesus goes on to address about roots of bitterness growing up within individuals, and that's not in this lesson. But we can allow that to happen. If we don't get our way, we feel like we've been wronged. So we have to understand something here tonight. And the first point that I'm going to make in this study, I have, I think, 4 points, is that words will play a key role in almost every conflict that we ever have. It's words. It's words, people. Words encourage agreement. When misused, they usually aggravate offenses and drive people further apart. But with God's help, following biblical, scriptural principles, we can improve our ability to communicate the truth, yet all in a spirit of love. We read in Ephesians, Paul is talking to the church in Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes, rather speaking the truth in love. We are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body. Now this kind of actually is attached to the passage that we read in Corinthians where Paul was talking about the gifts of the Spirit. He's using the same analogy of using the body. From the whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Pretty powerful passages of scripture. Over the past few months, I've had a number of meeting requests, and many of those in some of these meetings spoke of the need for a better understanding. And one word kept coming up that was, a lot of things were centered, a lot of different things going on, but the word communication kept coming up. Well, I'm not the best communicators. Maybe if I learn how to communicate better. Basically, what is being said is if I knew how to use my words better. You notice some people are really good at using words and some people not so good at using words. So the question was asked, can you communicate to us a bit more about communication? Now, I've learned a few things in life. One of the things that I've learned in life is don't say yes to something you don't want to do. That is so simple. Pastor Roy, you want to come over? We're having liver and onions. No, thank you. I will come over. I've used this analogy. People probably get tired of it, but it's very simple. I'm not ever going to say yes to anybody's liver and onions. No offense intended. Liver's liver. I love onions. I don't like the two together. It's just that simple. Don't care how much ketchup you put on it, how much Tabasco sauce you put in it. Don't matter to me if you smother it with onions and peppers and all kinds of stuff. I don't care for it. I just don't. Now, if I commit to something that I don't want to do, whose fault is that? It's my fault. Why is that? Because I haven't yet mastered the art of communication. I remember I struggled, I will tell you, I struggled. I was very, believe it or not, when I was up into my junior year of high school, I was very introverted. I'd just soon be left alone. Didn't have a whole lot of friends, didn't care. I loved art and I loved the science and biology classes, and I kind of got into all of that, woods class and metals class and stuff, and I didn't care about all. But I took a class, and I'll never forget the man's name was Mr. Dom. Little short guy, had long kind of shoulder-length hair, real thick, kind of balding on the top, had a nice handlebar mustache. He was a communications teacher. And I thought, this should be an easy class, communication. Man, that was a hard class. It was a tough class. Why? Because he made us talk. You know, you think, well, I'm going to a communication class, and the point is communicating. And I joined the class because I'm like, well, it's not English. I hate literature. I hate all of those Edgar Allan Poe's and first person and second person and third person and the old man in the sea with Hemingway. What does this mean? And I don't care. You can tell who doesn't like literature in here. I didn't care. Communication. I get in there. And he's like, every month, you're going to be giving a report in front of the class. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, every month I got to give a report? But see, the process, what he did was he sucked us all in through the art of communication. And when it came my time to give the report, I was excited because I could talk about anything I wanted to talk about. Anything. Didn't matter. When I left that class at the end of the year, I had gotten over my fear of public speaking. I'd gotten over my fear of maybe perhaps just clumsiness in front of people. I'd gotten over a lot of fears. I'd gotten over, because why? Because I learned how, just a little bit, I learned how to communicate. At least according to Mr. Dom, I learned how to communicate. And the problem we have so much in society today is people have stopped communicating. I mean this sincerely, folks. You cannot solve an issue. I said this the other night. You cannot solve an issue with your thumbs. You have to sometimes face people the way the scripture tells us to deal with it, face to face, eyeball to eyeball, heart to heart, and say, we have to resolve an issue. We have to solve this. So in this study, we're going to look at what the Bible says about three basic communication skills. and then explore practical ways to use them, especially when it comes to the involvement in a conflict. Because we're all going to, at some point in our life, from here on out, you're going to have a conflict. You're going to offend somebody. Somebody's going to offend you. And you have to learn how to resolve it. Biblically speaking. Sound good? And we're done for the night. I've communicated all I want to communicate to you right now. I left you with a cliffhanger, didn't I? You're going to go home and you're going to think, oh my goodness, what are these three basic communication skills? They're there. You even know they're there. We just don't always use them. So let's stand. Our musicians can come. You're probably thinking, well, how are you going to do an altar call with this? Well, you know, sometimes just so much of this just revolves around us admitting that we're not right. And I say that not like, well, boy, he's not right. Sometimes we can be wrong. It's funny how when you have couples come in or you have two people involved in a conflict, they both think they're right. Neither one thinks they're wrong. Well, I'm not doing anything wrong. Well, why are you here then? Well, because she. We have to resolve these things. So it starts with right here in our own hearts. What does the Bible say about your hearts? Tells me that my heart is deceitfully wicked, and who can know it? That means I probably got stuff in here that has been building up and building up and building up and building up and building up. And instead of repenting over it and shedding it and ridding myself of it, I stockpile it in special little places. So I can keep track and keep score. You know anybody that ever does that? Yeah, we all do that, don't we? Yeah. So tonight we're just gonna do just some good old fashioned heart cleaning. How's that? If we're gonna learn how not to offend and how to deal with offense, then we gotta start with just cleaning out our own closet. Listen, I took to the dump tons of garbage over the last 10 days. Decluttering. I talked about that in our own lives. Decluttering. It felt so good. Boy, it feels good to declutter in here, doesn't it? So as Sister Sarah sings tonight, I'm just going to open up the altar. This is very low key, very laid back. You could come if you'd rather not. You can declutter on your own pew. But let's just say, okay, Lord, I want to learn how to better communicate. I want to learn how to deal with offenses. I don't want to wear my feelings on my sleeve. Help me. Help me. Teach me, Lord.
Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was is holy. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait, 'cause Jesus is calling. Trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of
again, coming out this evening, to love and appreciate you all. I just want to make it to heaven, church. And you know what? I want to enjoy the journey and learning how to deal with conflict is part of that. And, love you all, appreciate you all. And if I offended anyone here tonight, we're going to deal with four things on how to get over that starting next Wednesday. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday morning.